Well, we continue in our message that we began last week. I reminded you last week that this letter was written by John to counteract the teaching of a man called Cerinthus. And the problem with Cerinthus is the same that we're facing today, that there are many who talk about Jesus, but they just don't talk about him in the way that he spoke about himself or his disciples spoke about him. This is the passage, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10. John writes, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not has no place in our lives." Let's pray together. Lord, speak again through your word. Give us a real sense of you speaking, Lord. I just want to commit this time to you, Lord. Receive all the glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we began the sermon by looking at the second part of this little phrase, "Does your walk match your talk?" We looked at what does it mean? What is your talk? How should you be talking? And we posed this reality. When you talk about Jesus, is it truly the Jesus of the Bible that you're talking about? How do we know it's the Jesus of the Bible that you're talking about? Well, there are a few things we can know. You need to know what your source of your talk is. John said he received this message from God. Friend, make sure that when you talk, it's a message from God. Secondly, does your talk bring clarity or confusion? When you're telling others about Jesus, do they leave with a better understanding of who Jesus is, or are they more confused about who Jesus is? Thirdly, does your talk focus on what you can achieve as a Christian or what you have received as a Christian? There's a lot of Christianity today, friends, that is still very works-based. The false message about Jesus is that you've still got something to do. And if you don't do your part, God won't do his part. But that's not the gospel message, friends. The gospel message is very clear, friends. The gospel message is you have received everything you ever need for spiritual growth. All you need to do is submit and surrender to it. When you live like that, friends, you have a genuine sense of belonging, and also you have a genuine redemption. Because your redemption isn't something you have to earn. We're going to pick up on some of those thoughts in today's part of the message. So today we want to look at the walk. What does it mean to walk as a Christian? And this is the statement I want us to consider. When you walk about as a Christian, do your deeds match your declaration? When you walk around as a Christian, do your deeds match your declaration? Well, what do I mean by that? Well, in this passage, there is a phrase that appears three times. Three times John says, if we claim. So in other words, if we declare this, we better make sure that what we are declaring matches with the way we are acting. So what are those three declarations that John is talking about? The first one is this. If you declare that you know the one who is light, you can't live in darkness. Listen to what it says in verse 6. John writes it and puts it in this way. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. Friends, the sad reality is there are many who are walking about. They wear all the trappings of being a Christian. They've got a big cross hanging around their neck. Or they've got t-shirts that say, I love Jesus. Or they're singing the praises of Jesus. But John, friends, is not impressed by outward expression. John, friends, is impressed by inward expression. So if you declare you have fellowship, you better make sure that you're not living a sinful life, friends. Firstly, John is not talking about habitual, he's talking about habitual sin here. We all sin. Every Christian makes mistakes. We all fail from time to time. We all do things that, you know, we are ashamed of. But friends, that's not what John is talking about. When he uses the phrase, if you claim to have fellowship with him and walk, that little phrase, walk, friends, is if your habits are still those of somebody who isn't a Christian, you can't claim you are a Christian. I wonder how many times when you have done something you know you shouldn't do. Well, let me give you an example. Maybe you're like me and you shout at the drivers around you. Or you get angry for no reason. Or you swear. And somebody says to you, you shouldn't do that. And you use this excuse, it's just the way I am. Have you ever said that? It's just the way I am. Friends, that is the very things John's talking about, yeah? If we claim to have fellowship with God, and we continue to do the things which we know displease him, don't use the excuse and say, it's just the way I am. Friends, we should be making every effort with the help of the Holy Spirit to change our behavior. God has empowered us. The wonderful thing of having the Holy Spirit in our lives is that we have the power now to say no to sin. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, you can't say no to sin, because the natural reactions, the natural actions of fallen humanity is sin. But for those of us who have the Spirit of God in us, friends, we have the ability not to sin. Secondly, if you claim this, friends, you're a liar. You're living a lie, friends. One of my favorite words in English is the word congruent. So not a word that's used very often. It's a word that means that which is in agreement or in harmony. When you see a couple that are in love and, you know, kind of working towards a goal, we talk about that couple being congruent. They are together, working together. The reality, friends, is there are many believers who are not living congruent lives. What they say and what they do are not the same things. A liar is a person who does not live a congruent life. But you know, the sad reality is, a liar is not only deceiving the people around him. The sad thing about a liar, friends, is a liar is deceiving themselves, first of all. That's the sadness of this reality. What they present on the outside is not what is going on the inside. I think, there are many people with lots of psychological hang-ups in this world. Lots of issues that they're dealing with. I'm not talking about those who have chemical imbalances or those sort of things. I'm talking about those who are not living a congruent life, friends. They're living one way, but actually they're thinking another way. The word that is used of us Christians when we do that is the word that is most destructive to the church. It's the word hypocrite. If you ask many people why they don't go to church, many of them say people who go to church are hypocrites. The word congruent is there. You know what the word hypocrite is? Let me remind you, I've told you once before. The word hypocrite was used of actors in the day that it was used in the Bible. When groups of actors moved from town to town to put on plays, many times there were not enough of them. So when they put on a play, some of them would act two parts. And what they would do is in their hand, they would have a mask, a face mask. And when they were acting one part of the character, they would put that mask in front of their face. And when they were acting the other character, they would put that mask in front of their face. And that word is the word hypocrite. People who wear two masks. One mask in public and another mask in private. Friend, if you declare that you know the one who is light, you better walk as if you were in light. Friend, the third part of that is if you don't walk in light, friends, John says you're not doing the truth. Young people today, friends, there is one word. If you want to understand young people today, what they are looking for, they are looking for authenticity. That's the word. They are looking for people who are genuine. The thing they hate the most, young people of today, is hypocrites. Don't say one thing, do something else. It does not matter, friend, how much you know the Bible. You can quote the Bible. You can preach it. You can teach it. But friends, if you're not living, if you're not practicing what you're preaching, people, young people, will see that you're not being authentic. And John is warning about that reality. But there's a second criticism. The first one is, if you claim to have fellowship, the second one is found in verse 10. John says, if you claim you have not sinned, you make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in us. What does that mean? Well, friends, it means this. If you declare that you're not so bad, I'm not so bad, not as bad as the next person. If you think you are good enough, you will never know full forgiveness. Because as long as you think you're good enough, friends, you'll never get to the point where you will turn to God and you will say, Lord, I need you in my life. One of the great joys of being a Christian, friends, is the joy of forgiveness. Only Christians can know the joy of forgiveness because we believe in a faith system of grace and mercy. Friends, we are forgiven by the mercy and the grace of God, not by anything we have done, friends. We are forgiven because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, friends. We are forgiven purely because of the work of God. But there are many, friends. If your forgiveness is based on your efforts to be acceptable to God, you'll never know true forgiveness. Because, friend, you'll never know if you have done enough. What John is talking about here, he is directing this statement against part of the teaching of Cerinthus, a teaching called Gnosticism. Gnosticism taught that it didn't matter what you did in your flesh, as long as your spirit was in touch with God. So Gnosticism, it was part of Christianity. Gnosticism taught that if you sinned, if you committed adultery or whatever the case may be with your body, it didn't matter what you did in your body. You could get drunk, you could do whatever you like, friends, because your body didn't matter. It was your soul that was important. And that's what John is directing him to. The sad reality, friends, is that teaching has creeped back into Christian lives through Eastern religion. Eastern religion tells you what you have to do is you've got to find the truth of your inner center. You've got to find the way to, they call it the seven chakras. Those seven paths to truth. You've got to discover your inner being. And one of the ways in which they are encouraged to discover your inner being is through meditation. You meditate and you think about God, and eventually God will reveal to you what's on the inside. Friends, what's on the inside is rotten. The Apostle Paul struggled with this. There were many who were claiming to be good enough. In Philippians, Paul writes this: if it was depending upon me, I have confidence for such. In Philippians chapter 3, he says, if anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law of Pharisees, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But he says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Friend, stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself into thinking if you're good enough, God has to accept you. Stop fooling yourself, friends, into trying to earn your salvation. There is nothing you can do that can bring you closer to God except receiving the gift of his salvation and trusting Jesus all the way. Friend, stop saying I'm all right. I don't really need God. I'm good enough. I'm fine. I'm living a good life. I'm not as bad as other people. Friend, you're in danger of the sin of the Gnostics, who believed that it didn't matter what they did in the flesh, as long as their spirits were fine. Thirdly, John says this: if you declare that you are God, small G-O-D, you are declaring that God, capital G-O-D, is a liar. Verse 8, John writes this: if we claim we have are without sin, who's the only being without sin? Who's the only one who's ever lived on this earth without sin? It's Jesus, of course. So what is John is saying? If you say you are without sin, you are making yourself equal to God. Friend, people who claim to be atheists, they're not atheists, friends. All they have done is they have replaced the God of the universe with themselves. They become their own gods. The reality is, friends, people who don't want to believe in God don't want to believe in him because they don't want to be accountable to him. They want to live life as if they are in charge. They want to say those famous words of that song, I did it my way. I don't care about God. John is pretty clear, friends. If you think you God, you've got another thing coming, friends. You're in for a big wake-up when you enter or pass from this existence into the next. If you don't now discover that there is a God that you need to respond to, friends, you're in trouble. And so the question we've been asking over these last 2 weeks is, does your walk match your talk? Does what you say match what you do? Friends, it's a very important question. It's a very important thing for us to think about. Every one of us, at some point in time, regardless of your age, regardless of what your condition may be, friends, you've got to ask yourself, does what I say match what I do? Now, as I was preparing the sermon, I realized there's a third one in this passage. So next week, I'm going to look at the third part of this passage. And the third part of this passage, friends, is the answer to that question. Does your walk match your talk? Because if your walk does not match your talk, friends, there is something we need to do. That's also found in this passage, and I'm going to deal with that next week. What do we need to do if we want our walk to match our talk? Lord, search your light into our hearts and our lives. May, Lord, your Holy Spirit be the after teacher. May the Holy Spirit be the one who convicts us of where we stand in relation to whether our talk matches our walk and our walk matches our talk. Lord, don't let others condemn us. Lord, speak through your word. Speak through your Spirit, so that when we hear your voice, Lord, we'll be ready and eager to put our lives right with you. Speak for your glory, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.